Anyway, this week, I am, as you know, not one to put a whole lot of stock in the resolves we make for the new year, anything. But something did come to mind, and it's something that a lady from Cape Henry mentioned to me before she left on her Christmas break. And her statement was that she wanted to be more intentional about God's will. And I asked if there was anything she could do around here, and we talked about it, and she was so busy she really didn't have the time to do more. And so sometimes we need to be more intentional about being more balanced in what we commit to. Anyway, so what I want to bring you today is being intentional about God's will in 2019. And it's a review of everything we know. There's nothing new this morning other than maybe a greater purpose as we walk with Jesus. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. I want to point this out because God is intentional in what he does. Reasons, purpose for, expectation of accomplishment, he's intentional. Also, just on the side, so you already know this, but also the enemy, the devil, is intentional as well, is he not? And sometimes we're not as intentional maybe as we could be. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. He's talking to believers, but they were going a little sideways because of what they were going through. Verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. We get instructions for a reason. Did you read the instructions? Yes, I tell my wife. Did you follow the instructions? Oh, I'm supposed to follow them? Yeah, well, sometimes we do that with the Bible even. James is encouraging the saints. He is pastoring by reminding them of the ongoing work of God in their lives. It's an important part in pastoring. The ongoing work of God in their lives. They had ceased to flourish in their faith, so he was taking them back to where they had started. Application. John chapter 15 confirms what James says over here. And the Gospel of John 15 verses 3 and 4. You are already clean, Jesus speaking, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus encouraged his disciples, we can see, in the same fashion. It's not that the people James was pastoring had lost their salvation, but they were neglecting to live in it. It's like having a car you never drive or a house you never live in. What's the point? This is why James asks the question in James chapter 4, verse 1. He says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So they were failing to live in the salvation that they had. And there was proof of it. So as we stand on the last bit of ground, 2018, looking forward to a new year, how are we doing at being intentional about the Word of God? James reminded the people of his day to stop resisting the implanted Word. He'd already done something. They were already modified, as it were, to live the life, to live his life out. The King James uses the word engrafted instead of implanted, and I like that because we have been grafted into the vine. We're not the original vine. Israel is. Jesus is the vine, the original branch. We've been grafted in. Nonetheless, we are loved no less than the original. James encouraged the people of his day and ourselves as well, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So the modification has been made. It's there. It's all in place. But nobody's using it. If I, not that I will, I'm getting older now, but if I had the pleasure of building a hot rod and torquing the engine up a bit so it would give a little more power to it, I would not finish that job without driving that car. There's a purpose. There's an intention in doing it. And that's what God is looking for. His intention is that we should be doers of the word. The modification has been made. All of this to say, God has granted all believers the ability to respond to his word, which he has planted into their heart and mind via the Holy Spirit. This affords us the privilege of responding to God in situations instead of reacting out of fear and a centering on self in the midst of trials and temptations. I'll read that one again. This affords us the privilege, if we will, of responding to God in situations instead of reacting out of our old nature, shall we say, out of fear, out of a self-centeredness, in the midst of trials and temptations. Like in James, that's why they were fighting, because they were reacting from the old man instead of responding to God as the new man. And so it's not even about the situation and us managing in the situation. It's about our relationship with God, who is eternal and can make everything beautiful out of anything ugly. That's a bold position. That's a sure position. But if you never use it, you'll never know it. But that's what we're modified for. That's the difference. Born again. To start over. Not to start over doing the same old thing, the same old way. But in the same old body, a brand new life. More intentional as to what God had intended. We need to be intentional. We always have only two choices. Either respond to God or react to life. It's one or the other. And I do both. I don't always get it right. And we always have lots of reasonable reasons we tend to react to our circumstances instead of responding to God. After all, we're only human. Wait a minute. Maybe not. Maybe we're not only human. What are you talking about, Wayne? I'm talking about being born again and living the life that Christ has given us in this crazy kind of, are you serious? You're going to do what? If I get any kind of an inkling that God is asking me to do something, I'll do it. I don't care what it is. We need not to care what it is. Because all that he asks us to do is for his glory and the good of others and even the good of ourselves. Maybe we're not limited to our self-effort. Maybe we're not alone. Maybe we don't have to behave so God will like us. Maybe the new modification will assure that if we rest in the modifier. God, who makes all things new. What if having the living word grafted into the old family tree actually makes a profound difference when we let it? The old family tree. My dad told me. One time he said, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Darn it. It's true. But when you're born again, you have a brand new tree. Brand new tree. Brand new life in the same old place. Wow. It is different. Hugely different. But we're not going to collect on that. We're not going to cash in on that unless we become intentional about this relationship with Jesus. Did you talk to him this morning? Or did you just get out of bed, grumble about your aches and pains? We haven't had this kind of yellow light for a long time, have we? It's nice. Like the sunshine. The little things. Are you noticing the little things or just the big things that are crushing you? There's little flowers underneath some pretty heavy things sometimes. What if he's durable enough that I can be risky? What if he's got everything that well handled? And what if he's, well, what if he can do that without tricking anybody? What if that's just what he does? What if he can change things and make things like that? That's absolutely who he is. What can we expect to happen when talking about intentional things? Because whatever we do, we have some intention of a goal. What can we expect to happen when the will of God is to forgive, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, but our intention, for whatever reason, and this does happen from time to time in life, our intention is to choke the living daylights out of someone we have come to believe desperately deserves it. Thanks, Mel. Because we can have those days, and we can have those times. What can we expect? Well, pardon me. What we can expect is for our intention to happen. So what are we intending to do? Who are we living for? What do we want out of that situation? Do we want what God wants out of that situation? Or just what we want because it's more comfortable? And I get that. I get that. So this is just a scenario. I'm not suggesting that there should be physical contact. But what we can expect is for our intention to happen. And when our hearts harbor this kind of not forgiving, we can expect Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 to 15 to happen. You have to expect it to happen. God is intentional. And if we're not intentional, we're not going to keep up. We're just going to become some religious thing somewhere celebrating our religion. It'll be very comfortable and we'll have a few more people who feel the same way we do. And that's all it'll be. There won't be this bold going forth. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. Be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. In this world you'll have trouble, he said, but be of good courage. I've overcome the world. And here's Matthew 6, 14 and 15, which will happen if we harbor that intention. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm not talking about there isn't consequences to situations. I'm talking must always be forgiveness to others through us, because there's always forgiveness from God to us. Without intentionality, seeking out the will of God and yielding to it, we will be left separated from the will of God in spite of the fact that the will of God is that, and you know this, that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Does that mean nobody can override that? No. It doesn't mean that. It means we need to be intentional because God is intentional. The implanted word within us is given to produce the desire of God's heart in, through, and in spite of our lives. I love that. I've told you thousands of times. I hang my hat on that last one. God works in, through. I don't always see that in my life, but he's always working in spite of me. So I can just keep working. It doesn't look very good and I make a lot of mistakes and some days I want to quit because I think I'm doing a bad job. But God is still at work. Doing a great job. Don't quit, Wayne. I'm not finished yet. Okay, Lord. I'll hang in there. I'll persevere. And we get like that if we start looking at ourselves. as though we should improve or be better or whatever. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, the will of God. Don't argue with God when it's difficult. Just tell him it's difficult. Tell him it's impossible if you need to. He can hear all that stuff. He's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of it. We never get anywhere without the intention to get there, right? Never get anywhere. Where are you? We could ask the silly question, where are you intending to go today? Well, I was intending to go to Shemaitis. So, well, if you follow through on your intention, you'll arrive there. But if you don't intend to, really, you're just kind of along to pick up some feelings and some nice warm fuzzies from people and some nice friendships. And if that's why you come to church, even, oh, gosh, you're going to miss God's intention for you. And his new, overflowing, abundant life that you don't have to worry about because he's in charge of it. I mean, who wouldn't go for that? I mean, it just cancels worry right there because he's in charge of it. Oh, that's why I'm in. That's why I'm in. Sometimes things can happen to us that we don't intend to happen. It's not always just us. Yes, of course. We don't live in a bubble. But what happens next is very intentional on our part. Things happen that we didn't intend to have happen, but then immediately what we do with that does matter. Do we forgive or strive to get even? Do we become bitter and let bitterness grow and multiply? What is God's will? Do we take time to even consider what God would want us to do? What if it's something different than we'd like to do? Which way do we go with that? Well, it's just God, and I know I won't go to hell if I just ignore him. No, not right away. But if you do that the rest of your life, you definitely will. He's intentional about getting you in heaven and not like you're looking today. Sorry, no offense. But he sees everything about us. He sees right through and into us. And all the things we're ashamed of and afraid to look at, he sees that. And his intention is to deliver us from all of that, not just when we get to heaven, but right now so that others can see, there's a place I can be different. God can do this. If God can change that person, whew, I'll be a piece of cake. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to show you some of this implanted word and how it works. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not having the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. That is our self-effort. For then, our religious effort even. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. No, they just covered the sins. They didn't take it away. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. That's Christ. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me to do your will, O God. Please don't get locked into some Old Testament, New Testament thing like that was the Old Testament and this is the New Testament. No, the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament in the volume of the book. You can preach Christ from the Old Testament just as well as you can from the New Testament. Why is that? Well, because he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He is foreshadowed through the entire thing. We're not under the law. We're in Christ who has fulfilled the law. So the same principles still apply. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. What are you here for? Why do you come here? Jesus said, I have come to do your will, O God. He's intentional. He's intentional. And we are his workmanship. So we should be intentional as well, so that we can dovetail with the one, with the worker, with Christ, who is conforming us into his own image. We need to be intentional about that. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. But that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Yes. So let's move over here then to verse 23. You can read some more of that. I'm just shortening it up here a bit. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So we should be intentional about his will. We're not doing things to appease God. Hopefully you're not caught there. If you are, get away from there. We're not doing things to appease God or gain his favor. We have his favor through the blood of Christ. We need to receive with meekness the engrafted word that is alive and active in our lives, who is indeed our very life. You don't have a belief system. If you do, throw it away and just start believing. Because believe is a verb. It's an action word. And walk it out with him. Be conscious and aware of God's will. Read your Bible every day. Not so that you can memorize it, but if you memorize it, good for you. But know that so you can be aware that God has a heart and a desire and is intentional. When we read this, he's hoping that we're going to take this that he showed us and make it a part of our living and share it with others. I want to be intentional now in closing. And you've noticed on that piece of paper that you have on the back, I put it, what I'm about to read, I put it down there. And I put it there so that you can see I'm actually reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. I'm not adding to the word or anything else. I'm preaching into the word. So that I'm just going to put this word in there. I want to read Colossians 3, 1 to 17 intentionally. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, be intentional about seeking those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Be intentional about setting your mind on things above and not on the temporal things of the earth. 3. As a believer, be intentional about the realization of you being dead and your life hidden with Christ in God. Be intentional about these things. 4. Be intentional about the reality of Christ being your life and his return being imminent. And when he appears, you also will appear with him in glory. That's fascinating. Like, can you just see that? Like, Jesus returns, and as soon as we see him, we will immediately say, "Where am I?" That's how fast the chariot ride is going to be. Verse 5. Be intentional about putting to death the worldly passions and greedy desires of this world. Be intentional about that. Yeah, you're going to stick out, but so what? Be intentional. 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. Verse 7. Be intentional and careful, because you yourself once walked in this way when you lived in it. Watch out. Be intentional. There's a part of you that likes to sin. There's a part of you that likes to have their own way. There's a part of you that likes to have their preeminence. There's a part of you that likes to be noticed. There's a part of you that doesn't like to cooperate. That's the old person. But remember, be intentional. That's where you came from. Are you back there again? Did you go back to the cupboard just for one more chocolate? When you're on a diet, you're intentional. Be intentional. verses 8 and 9. Be intentional to put off and to put away from you anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and lying. This is what it means to put off the person you used to be. Be intentional. Do you have a plan? You should have a plan. You should plan. When you got places that are going to make you behave like the old man, stay away from there. That's a good plan. Stay away from there. You need to do that. Do you have a plan for these things? You should have a plan. They're not just going to go away. They're going to cling to you like jam, you know, when you miss spreading the bread and it's on your hand, it's going to stick. If you don't have a plan, you go to the sink and you wash the jam off. You need to have a plan. 10. And be intentional to put on the new person who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Don't go outside without your coat on. We tell that to the grandkids all the time. Put your boots on, Grandma's saying. You're in the mud. There's a plan. Be intentional to put off and put away. Be intentional to put on the new person. That's why you're here. You came here to celebrate with others about the new person. You want to talk some more about the new person. And that's what we're here for. Talk about Jesus. We're going to sing some songs to him pretty soon. That's intentional. Maria is very intentional when she picks the song. She doesn't want all these bleeding heart, yada yada, and I used to be this and now I'm that. And, well, why me, Lord? You know, when I hear that, I think, why not you? You know, better or worse than anybody else. Intentional. Put on the new person. Verse 11. Be intentional about realizing that in Christ there is... I love this one. Sort of lost my place. I like it so much. Verse 11. Be intentional about realizing that in Christ there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Christ is all to the believers and in all believers. If you're intentional about believing that, you are the furthest thing from a racist I've ever seen. You won't even have to think about it. God has opened up your door wide. So what are you going to do? Are you going to react out of fear? Or are you going to be intentional and respond to Christ in the midst of the opportunity? Oh, yeah. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, see that, I love that, receive with meekness, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's our position. Now, because of that, be intentional about putting on, here we go, more stuff to put on, be intentional about putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Those are hard things to wear in this world. Nobody else is wearing them except believers. Put those on. Others will appreciate it. Well, yeah, but I don't like being like that. Be intentional about getting over yourself. Ooh. There's an insult. No, it's not an insult. I'm helping you out. Doing you a favor. Be intentional, because God is intentional about getting you over yourself. You should be too. Well, there's nothing wrong with me. Ask somebody really close to you that doesn't like you. They'll be very honest with you. Be intentional, verse 13, about bearing with one another. Oh, I don't want to bear with one another. I'm just going to... Like all these things to do, and you, I don't have time to bear with you. Yesterday, somebody came walking in off the street, needing to use the bathroom. Sure, no problem. I'm just on my way out. I got a few minutes. I'm waiting. As they're leaving the door, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with me. Tears coming out. My wife's waiting for me at Walmart. Oh. So, quickly explained to her and helped her out best I could. And she was on her way. Be intentional. Can God interrupt your day? Do you let him do that? Oh, be careful. Because normally we don't. Yes, be intentional about bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Do it deliberately. Be intentional. No, you're not going to like it. It's like going to the dentist. This will hurt a little bit. No, it won't. It'll hurt a lot. Brace yourself. Yeah, just like that. Be intentional. Actually, if you're not good with meekness, that'll really help you. Nothing better than eating crow. Brings on meekness. If you can't, if you refuse to humble yourself, you say you can't, don't worry about it. God is so much a part of our lives that he'll see to it that in a particular situation, you will be humiliated until you learn to humble yourself. He did it to Nebuchadnezzar. Big time. So you can wait for that if you want. But God is intentional, and if you don't do it, he will, to teach you how. So forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, we need to be intentional about that. So you be intentional about forgiving others. Verse 14, but above all these things, be very intentional about putting on love, which is intended by God to be the bond of perfection. So it doesn't mean you're always smiley and always lovey-lovey-lovey and always give nice soft things that everybody likes to hear. It doesn't mean that. If you've raised a child, you know that it's not all about, now dear. Sometimes it's, you're not going out to clean up your room or whatever. So be responsible. And love is responsible. And tough love is really responsible. That won't make you a lot of friends. That's okay. Have courage. Be intentional. Be intentional. Oh, I don't want to get involved. Oh, come on. You'll never be intentional if you don't want to get involved. Do you care for others or you just care that others like you? Because if you just care that they like you, you won't be intentional. And you will be of no help to them when they really need some help. Courage. Courage. God has courage. He's pretty bold, loving the likes of us. Why would he not do that? Why can he not do that through us? To others. And be intentional about letting the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's not going to always be easy. You need to be intentional. You need to refuse to worry. Be intentional about that. Refuse it. Instead of worrying, pray. When you want to worry, pray. When you want to be angry, pray. When you want to get even, pray. Pray. Intentionally. God has intentionally called you into one body. The church. Don't be wearing your feelings on your sleeves and running from church to church every time somebody doesn't say something that you like. This is a room full of people. Every church is a room full of people in the process of getting over themselves. You can't possibly think that's not going to be a little bit messy from time to time. Sometimes somebody rubs you the wrong way because you had quite a big chip on that side and God's removing it. Oh yeah, he's very intentional. We call it the one body. Be intentional about thanking him for that. Thank you, Lord, for that person. Verse 16, intentionally let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Be intentional about teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing intentionally with grace in your heart to the Lord. So the grace in your heart is for everyone around you. And your singing is to the Lord. See how that works? That grace is not just for you to hog. It's for you to express to others, even through difficult times. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all of it intentionally, in the name of the Lord Jesus, intentionally giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.